Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you today. Thank you, worship team, for leading us today. What a wonderful time of worship. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. I don't want you to feel bad for me this morning, but the next 16 verses of Romans chapter 16 are full of names that you and I have never heard of before. And I want you to know that I don't come unprepared, although I may look like I have. I have tried to read through these out loud. I wrote pronunciations beside all these names. I did it at least 10 times out loud. And we'll just have to see how it goes. Out at Lost Lake, I did my best. They applauded after I'm not sure if it was because they were glad it was finally over or I did okay. Well, if the ushers would go ahead and pass the offering baskets around in just a moment after I read the scripture would be wonderful. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word this morning? Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epenetus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Statius. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the churches of Christ send greetings. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. No. I think it was recorded, though, if you want to go back through that and endure the torture, Dan. Camp Manitoumi was a fairly intimidating place for a boy of 11 years old. It was the place that all of us from Community Baptist Church in Milledgeville went, who are part of the junior high Sunday school class. There was Gary Linscheid, there was Danny Deitch, there was Jeff Trotter, and there was John Trotter. We loaded up in different cars and we went to Camp Manitoumi. And for an only child growing up, you know, with everything that was right where I put it, when I left it there, group setting in housing was very unsettling to me. And so along about Wednesday, even the best of us were getting homesick for our moms. And that's what made mail time so awesome, was because about dinner time, every evening, right before we ate in the cafeteria, we'd all get together and this magical person would come with mail. And one by one, pull out letters from home. Gary Linscheid. Gary Linscheid would walk up, get a card from home. Boy, he'd open that and who knows what was in there. Danny Deitch. Danny would walk up there. It was awesome. And John Trotter would walk up and get a card from home. And the name Jeff Trotter was read. And this package came out of the bag. And we were all like, whoa, a package. How awesome. And we were like bees to honey around that table. We buzzed. And Jeff was so excited. It's a true story. So excited. He was ripping open the package. And we were all like, we can't believe that he got a package. We all kind of wish we had a mom like Jeff's mom. And as he opened the package and ripped open the paper, he pulled out 4 pair of clean underwear in front of all these kids, girls too. And of course, he tossed them aside and said something like, well, what would I need those for? No kidding. Mom will tell you, I went to camp 1 year and never opened my suitcase. Just let that sink in for a little bit. Oh, man. I'm so thankful that my wife has stuck with me and taught me some things over the years. Of the 28 people that Paul mentions in the 16th chapter of Romans, 8 of them were women. And I want to focus on a couple of the characteristics that Paul mentions in honor of these women. You see, Paul could not describe the church in Rome without mentioning a few dedicated, really dedicated ladies who had significant roles in the early church. For instance, Phoebe was a deacon. We read that just a moment ago. The deacon in the church exhibits appropriate gifts and graces and may be recognized by the church. A deacon is vested with the authority to administer the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper and to officiate where the laws of the state do not prohibit, and on occasion to conduct a worship service and preach. It's understood that the Lord and the church may use this person and the gifts and graces for various ministries within the church. I'm going to switch over to your dad's mic, Riley. It turned green. All right. Paul says of Phoebe, give her whatever help she may need. And he says, for she has been a benefactor to me. How many of you have had a benefactor in your life? I looked that up in the dictionary, and it says that a benefactor is one who gives over an abundance to you, someone who shares of themselves in giving of themselves to you in resources or in love or affection. Romans chapter 16, verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa, a couple interesting names that you would think we have no idea of knowing anything about these ladies. In fact, just the opposite is true. In Roman citizenry, they paid very close attention to social structure and social classes. What I mean by that is there was the upper class, the middle class, and the lower class. There were the servants, there were the property owners, and there were those who were of the ruling class. Tryphena and Tryphosa were names that were never used in the lower class. They were always used in upper class references. In fact, the names, very interesting. You know what they translate into English? Dainty and delicate. But you know, look at what Paul says of them. He says they worked hard in the Lord. These women who work hard in the Lord. Now, if you had a name like Delicate and Dainty around Living Well, yeah, you'd have to change your name because we all work hard around here. These ladies had to overcome the perception that they were too good to work hard. Amen? They got right down in there and did the work. Praise the Lord. A couple interesting things there about those ladies. And then Priscilla and Aquila, very interesting, tent makers. Paul, too, was a tent maker. We're going to look at the verses here in a moment. Look at Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. And then Acts chapter 18, verse 18. Remember, who is the author of Acts? Remember? The Apostle Luke, okay? Paul stayed in Corinth for some time, then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Centuria because of a vow he had taken. Then Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 27. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, how many of you remember references to Apollos in Scripture? Remember, I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Very instrumental in the early church. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. Okay, come along with me here. Come along with Paul. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. How many of you have ever heard a pastor speak boldly? When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, get this, you're going to love this, a little gem here. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Isn't that beautiful? When Apollos went to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him. They discipled, and he was discipling and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. And on arriving, he was of great help to those who by grace had believed. Praise the Lord. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. This is Paul referencing Priscilla and Aquila. The churches of the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. Of the six references to Aquila and Priscilla, isn't it interesting that Luke the doctor, who is a technical writer, and the apostle Paul, who came from a male-oriented in leadership dominant culture in Judaism. Did you notice that they switched how they presented Priscilla and Aquila? Three times Priscilla is listed first. Three times Aquila is listed first. That is not an accident. It is a reference to the role of significance that Priscilla had in the early church.
All you got to do is look back at how normal it was. And by normal, I mean this is the way we do it. We always mention the male first in Old Testament. But you see something happening. Jesus has elevated the role of women. And so Paul, Apollos, and Luke is following as well. It's not that the Jews didn't have a high regard of women. It's just that we're making sure that we are taking care and giving honor where honor is due. Paul says they work hard in the Lord. I think of my grandmother's hands when I think of working hard, especially Grandma Trotter, because she was farm woman. She would take this bowl, this stainless steel bowl, out to the garden and then bend in half and not get up until she was a quarter mile down the field. She picked the beans. And she'd bring them in, and she would use the same pan to snap the beans. How many of you don't remember what snapping the beans is? Okay. And she could snap beans while she was, like, baking a chicken. She could snap beans while she was, you know, sewing up some kind of little farm animal. She was an amazing lady. I can remember her hands. And even though her hands had a lot of arthritis, she just kept working. She worked hard. What does it mean to work hard in the Lord? I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Paul says in Romans that Priscilla and Aquila risk their lives for him. And though we don't know exactly what that reference is to, we certainly know that a mother will do whatever it takes to not only make sure her son or daughter live, but that they will thrive. So the title of my message this morning is A Mom Like Rufus's Mom. A Mom Like Rufus's Mom. Aren't you glad your mom didn't name you Rufus? All right. Paul says, Greet Rufus and his mom, who has been like a mother to me. That raises some interesting questions, doesn't it? When and where did she meet Rufus's mother? Did she somehow nurse him through some kind of trial or some kind of physical injury or some kind of illness? Did Paul stay in her home while he was on a missionary journey? How did Paul know this woman, and how was there such a close bond formed? The Gospel of Mark tells us that Simon of Cyrene, you remember? The man who carried Jesus' cross had two sons, Alexander and Rufus. We don't know for sure that this was the same Rufus that Paul mentions. If he is, though, his mother would be Simon of Cyrene's wife. What a remarkable example she set. Sometimes we think of being a little sentimental on Mother's Day, and I think we should be, because our moms have made an incredible influence on our lives. So I think mothers just taking the cue from Paul here should be honored for their hard work and persistent love. Paul says several times, thank you. Thank you for your hard work in the Lord. I was thinking this week, I think it was spurred by Lisa's picking of the scripture that says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. It's a beautiful scripture of God bringing the human body together cell by cell with delicate intricacy. And then the baby is born and begins to grow. And I think about all of the decisions that a mother makes all the responses to the son or daughter, reactions under stress, and in today's world, texts back and forth. Mom, I need, can you help? And then texts back and forth. And I think about how a mother continues to pick up where God left off in making the human body. Don't mothers have an incredible influence in continuing to knit together the character of the child? Every little decision that mom makes is knitting something into the character of their son or daughter. We remember. We have two recollections of things. We remember how it was when it happened. And then years later, we look back and maybe see things in a different light. Because we have more experience, more knowledge now as we've grown into adults. And we realize that what seemed really weird at the time, the response that mom made, the coaching that she brought into my life, the encouragement, the keeping me away from this or keeping me away from that, today is more valuable than ever because I see she was knitting the character of God into my life. So mom continues to knit. Her love is undying. We want to honor our mothers for the tremendous impact that they've had on the lives of each and every one of us. You know, but let's not forget they're human, and let's give moms the grace to be human. Amen? Just like dads aren't perfect, neither are moms. But they do really good. Amen? Yeah. I'm convinced that the person that had the most influence on Jesus' life was his mother. Now, it's not to say that Joseph didn't, but you know, Scripture kind of falls silent on what happened to Joseph. And we assume that he died. We don't know that for sure, but we're left with this incredible, faithful image of Joseph, and then Scripture never gives us a hint in regards to what happened to him. And I'm convinced that if Joseph were still alive, he would have been with Mary when Jesus was on the cross. But regardless of that, Mary was there. Mom was there. Many references to mom being around Jesus, Mary being around Jesus as Jesus was doing his ministry. She was in a supportive role the whole time, never abandoning her calling as supporter and encourager and former of the character of Jesus as a boy. That same type of influence can be seen in other individuals. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, was influenced by his mother, Susanna. Those rowdy boys, Charles, author of many of the hymns that we sing today, and John, fiery preacher, today, or back then, but of course gone today. As she was raising, knitting those boys' character, she said, "Boys, take this rule. Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes off your relish of spiritual things. In short, whatever increases the strength and authority of your body over your mind, that thing to you is sin, however innocent it may be. in and of itself. That's pretty good. Amen. Abraham Lincoln is credited as leading this nation through great crisis. But you know who Abraham Lincoln credits as influencing him the most in this earth? It was his mom. In many different ways, we've been influenced by our mothers. And whether they are still living here with us now or no longer with us, we have memory and we can honor them. A minister was visiting a family who had just moved to Memphis from Baltimore, Maryland. And the minister asked the man if he was originally from Baltimore. He said, "No, my family moved around a lot. And there was really no place that I could really say was my home. I suppose, however, looking back, wherever mom was home." Maybe a lot of us can identify with that. A house is a physical place, but a home is where our loved ones are. I think it's appropriate that we single out a day to recognize and honor our moms. And like I said, some have already gone on. They're no longer with us. Some may be here today, and you may be the son or a daughter of a mom who's not here today. But would you bow in prayer with me as we thank God? You know, I had some wise advice given to me several years ago from our former district superintendent. And he said, you know, we all learn from the examples that God has placed in our lives. And he says, I haven't always been the best example to you. And he's talking to us pastors. But he said, you know, you can learn from both good examples and bad examples. So that's when we come around and ask God to, Lord, help us learn more about you, regardless of the example that our mothers may have set that one time in our life. And Lord, help us to honor you with our heart as we honor our mothers. The Bible does say, honor your father and mother. That's a great way for us to honor God by honoring our moms. And let's thank God for our mothers. Lord, today we thank you that you have brought us into this life and you've used a mom and a dad to make that happen. Today, Lord, we thank you for the examples of motherhood that we have all around us who are forming us and teaching us and knitting the character of Christ into us. Lord, we thank you for the godly examples of motherhood that we see in Scripture. We thank you for the godly examples of motherhood that we have around us. And Lord, we seek to learn more about you and to be more like you. Father, we give our mothers grace to be human. They haven't been perfect, and neither have we. But today we seek to honor you by honoring them. Lord, thank you for the life that you've given them. Thank you for all of the times that they said yes to you, because that positively impacts our lives. Lord, forgive when there's been misjudgments. Forgive when there's been sin. We intercede, Lord, for our loved ones, and particularly our mothers, Lord. We thank you for them. Provide for all their needs according to your riches and glory. And Lord, may they experience, as they live in relationship with you today, may they experience a growing, vital relationship with you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. We love you. Thank you for our moms. In Jesus' name, amen. As our worship team comes back to the platform this morning, there are some roses that are there by the door, and they are there for you, mothers. Hug a mom today. You might not even be able to hug yours, but hug a mom who has had an impact. Oh, Carol wants a kiss, Dan. Not just a hug. She wants a kiss. Yeah. Carol, I'm going to give you a hug. Okay. Even if Dan doesn't. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to hug my mom again today. Yep. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that God doesn't leave us fatherless, motherless? That even if our moms maybe have even been estranged from the family or been called home, that God still provides that level of influence within the context of the church. I'm thinking of Jeanette having lost her mom. And we just wish it would have been different in some ways. But what a beautiful thing that we can still, she can still be a mom. And now she's grandma to four wonderful grandkids. We had them all under our roof yesterday. It was amazing. Yeah, they just all just started showing up. We're like, somebody's got to shut the valve off here. They're just going to fill the house. It's all good. But thank you for the influence that you've had in our lives. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to follow in Jesus' footsteps and be a servant like a mom. May God bless. May God bless you.
is God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Mm-hmm. God bless you guys. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. You are dismissed.
God bless you.